recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson in the house. It's a bittersweet day here on Robbie and Rex Road. The last show we have with Marquise Munson. Moving on to greater things, and Munson, we're happy for you, man.
I appreciate you guys, man. So we're going to do this now?
Well, we're going to do it twice.
I got four straight hours, go.
Yeah,
everything you want to say.
First and foremost, go Dodgers tonight. for that's the most important thing. But nah, it's been a long journey here in Nashville for me, a long journey in radio in general. Staying in radio, obviously, but just moving on to cover something different that's not sports, something that I've always wanted to work in, and that's the music side. So, and if you've heard me play bump music, you know that, you know, I'm very knee-deep in the weeds in music.
So, you are. It's impressive.
Yeah. I'm very versatile, which a lot of people can't say about themselves, because, like, I'm old-school hip-hop, old-school rock, like, country, like, I hit all grounds here on this program. And so, you know, I got to thank, you know, Bud and, you know, Porth, obviously, Ryan Porth, for giving me the opportunity to come here and work with you guys and work on the morning show, because I've been on this show when it was in rotation. I've been in this show through the grind of people coming and going. So it's bittersweet, but, you know, I'm happy that the two guys that I wanted in those chairs are in those chairs. So, you know, and hats off to you guys. I'll still be supporting you guys from afar. And let's kill this for the last 4 hours,
yeah,
man.
We love you. We're gonna have a lot of fun here on the last 4 hours here.
Yeah, we love you. It sucks for us. We're happy for you. And are you going to still do Pigskin Pick'em with us then? Like
today? We can discuss that.
We have to figure that out.
Look, there's a big matchup today. Pigskin Pick'em's important today.
It is. We're all not doing very well. But it's very close now.
Excuse me, sir.
Actually, you had a great week.
I had a great week last week.
Yeah, you can't leave on that, you know?
I got to close out. No, well, if I go 1-6, I'm definitely not coming back next week.
Like, this is a big week.
So this week will determine it is what you're telling us.
Pretty much. If I get 1 point this week, I'm going to be like, nah, just pass it along.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's fair. I get it.
So did y'all watch the football game last night between the Giants, if that's what you want to call it, football game between the Giants and the Eagles last night? I suppose there was some football being played.
Some.
Not much.
Watch some. Yeah, there was some football, I guess. There's your guy, Boston Scott, scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
Another great fantasy waiver wire pickup from Munson.
Did you start him?
Yep.
Wow.
Sure did.
He's just rolling on the wire.
Sure did. I had to make up for that Keyshawn Vaughn pick I made a couple weeks ago that lost me a fantasy pick. But I was a little nervous because, like, the Eagles weren't running the ball well. Every time Boston Scott touched the ball, it was like 2 yards. Like every present, like 2 yards. I'm like, man, this is not gonna go well. And then that last catch of the game,
it's a great catch.
My fantasy quarterback to my starting running back for this week.
Good combo.
For the touchdown. What a great combo.
It looked like professional football players and everything.
Yeah, 27 points for Carson Wentz, 18 points for Boston Scott for last night.
Man. Did y'all see Daniel Jones scamper down the field and then just, I guess, either get tripped by the turf monster, run out of gas? I don't really know what happened. Yeah. Doing there, but it was funny. I know that.
Oh, no, I did. And our friend Emily Proud immediately put that. She quote tweeted CBS Sports did that, and they did Kevin from The Office spilling chili. So I told a story on a podcast with Emily and Buck Rising about an actual chili mishap I had. I'm almost the exact same thing last fall. I spent like all day on this. Like white chicken chili, and okay. I mean, it was going to win this chili competition. It was amazing.
Pretty confident.
And I brought it out to the in our neighborhood where they had the thing, and I spilled the whole thing and broke the crock pot.
Oh,
and I seriously
man.
Like ran home almost like crying. I mean, it was like I ran home like I was going to, you know, get stuff to clean up. But really, I was running home because I was so upset I didn't want people to see me. I was absolutely. I'm still devastated. It's the best chili I'll probably ever make.
There's no, like you can't rebound from that. You
and just, it was no, I mean right. No, I mean it was. I was like depressed for 2 days from that. But yeah. So Emily made sure to. She thought of me with the Daniel Jones thing last night.
I mean, it was like a 70-yard run, but couldn't quite finish it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
There you go. It's on right behind you right now.
Is if you're the Eagles, how do you let Daniel Jones run like 70 yards on you?
That's a fair question
untouched.
Too. That's a fair question, too.
Just
oh man,
really bad football teams last night.
I was like, man, is Michael Vick out here like running for
yeah,
the,
like,
the
I don't
Giants
know what's going
now?
On.
What is this?
And you had this matchup on Thursday night, and then you look ahead to Sunday, and you've got the Cowboys against the Washington football team. So they're all getting together this week in the NFC East. I imagine that game will be something to behold as well.
Is that, I mean, is that the, you know, the Romo Nance game? I know they're doing New England San Fran,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be a top team, though. Top team on Washington. Hey, I used to get so excited for those Dallas-Washington games. Man, so excited in the 80s, a long time ago.
Say, how long ago was that?
That was a big – I loved the 80s. You know, this could be predate you guys, but John Riggins, Joe Theismann, Art Monk.
Oh, yeah.
Dexter Manley. I mean, those were great teams. Love.
I've heard
teams.
This story. Is it true that Joe Theismann was at one time not Theismann?
Yeah, no. His Theismann. Name is Theismann, and then at Notre Dame he changed it because they had the Theismann for Heisman campaign. Yeah, so it's a much cooler story than like Jared Garantano saying, "Dude, my name has been Garantano
my
whole
entire
time.
Life."
Yeah. Now this is actually like, yeah, I'm going as, and then I mean the rest of his life, you know, his NFL
just
career,
Joe Theismann.
Everybody called him Joe Theismann. I mean,
that's
it sounds cooler.
It does sound cooler. And Joe Theismann doesn't quite have the same ring.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. So we got Tyson Brilo. We got that nailed down here. Feel good about that one. Still a little iffy on UC. Saros, Saros, because when Pete Weber says Saros, I just want to question myself every time, you know?
Well, me too. And also, like, UC is maybe the nicest
man, he won't
person
say
on the earth. He's not going to tell you.
Right. He'll just say,
like,
oh, yeah.
Whatever you want to say.
That was good. Yeah, that was
like,
good.
UC, just help me. Help me help you.
Like UC, like what Sauron. Was that the villain in Lord of the Rings? Sauron. He'd be like, yeah, that's fine. Sure.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hopefully we won't have to see another Thursday night football game like the one we saw last night between the Giants and the Eagles. And now we're almost here, Joe, and I was looking at the line, and the Titans right now are favored by 1 against the Steelers, which it did not start that way.
It flipped.
This week it is flipped, so that'll be an interesting battle to have once we do get to Pigskin Pick'em later in the show sometime around 9:30. But I tell you what, we've had a lot of fun talking about the Titans this year, obviously, and the 5-0 start that they've had. I am really looking forward to this game. I mean,
yeah.
More so than I have been, even when, maybe not more so than the Bills game, just because I was like, please God, give me some football again to talk about. But looking forward to this game for different reasons. I think this is going to be a heck of a matchup, and I am fired up about it.
Yeah, I am too. Because it's a great game, it's 2-5-0 teams, you know, great players on both sides, but also just to see what Arthur Smith comes up with, you know, because this is I think you can argue this is the toughest kind of matchup, especially for a team that just had a huge loss on the offensive line. You know, it's Like if you played the Steelers 3 weeks down the road or something, you know, you'd have figured some stuff out. You'd know where you want people to be. You'd have a better feel for basically just helping your left tackle more that you didn't have to do before. But this is like the first try, and it's this team, you know. So I'm going to try to, you know, really keep a close eye on just personnel and, you know, just how many people are in every time they throw. I mean, the whole game plan is going to be really fascinating from Arthur Smith, and there's probably some stuff that, I mean, we've thrown out a whole bunch of stuff this week, but you know there'll be some stuff we haven't thought of. You know, maybe it'll be Jeremy McNichols in the Wildcat. Maybe they'll, you know, switch it up there. Or they'll have Derrick Henry throw like three jump passes.
A.J. Brown, wide receiver, reverse pass. You haven't seen – I mean, there was – I guess the Browns pulled off the nice receiver reverse pass earlier this year.
Well, they've done a couple of them.
Yeah.
They did – did they have Beckham throw one too?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've been – now, none of that stuff worked against Steelers, but
– No, it didn't.
But, yeah, you know, they're coming in just rolling. So, but, yeah, we got Ed Bouchette on later, who the legendary Ed Bouchette of The Athletic, covered the Steelers for a long time. So we'll talk. We had him on before to talk COVID. We'll have him on now to talk football.
Absolutely. And then some injury news yesterday for the Titans. Jadeveon Clowney, Mykole Pruitt, Daquan Jones, Dennis Kelly, and Jonnu Smith, all full participants yesterday in practice for the Titans. Isaiah Wilson did not practice. Also, A.J. Brown did not practice yesterday as well.
Well, and the weird that's very important today to keep an eye on is A.J. Brown heading out to practice because, it's weird that he participated one day, then not the next. Does that mean there's like a new thing, or is that it could just be, okay, we're going to give him this one off, we're going to be careful and cautious? I don't know, but today I'll help tell that story. Probably – Vrabel probably won't tell the story before practice. The practice field itself will tell the story.
Yes. So hopefully A.J. Brown is just kind of trying to grind through the bone bruise that he's been dealing with in his knee, and they're giving him a day off because I do think he's going to be crucial. And, look, I'm just interested to see what A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Adam Humphries can look like together while they're all relatively healthy. We haven't really seen that this year, even in the first game where they all three of them played. Corey Davis was nursing a hamstring. Now, you really couldn't tell that night because he was awesome in that game against Denver, but I'm interested to see all three of them out on the field together and what a difference that makes for Ryan Tannehill in the offense.
Yeah, I would think quite a difference. And, you know, you're going to get some good matchups. I mean, Humphries, this is a Humphries game. I mean, they may all be Humphries games, but this is a get it out now and get the 6-7 yards. You know, keep dinking and dinking. And A.J. Brown, I think you get him the ball quickly too. But, you know, somebody's going to get good matchups Sunday. And I think Corey Davis this year, now that he's back out, I think he's going to have a lot of weeks where he gets, you know, favorable matchups. And so far he's been taken advantage of. And then, of course, if Adoree Jackson is out there, what does that do to the defense?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the speed that he brings to the table, we'll see how much of a difference maker that makes for the Titans defense. We talked to Floyd Reese earlier in the week about it. He said, look, it's just been really hard in the secondary right now to do what you want to do defensively because of the speed. It just hasn't been there, and you don't feel great about coverage. We'll see if Adoree Jackson's able to go, how much of a difference maybe he makes in that area. When we come back, what would a win against the Steelers, given everything the Titans have gone through this week, losing Taylor Lewan, tell you about this team and about this offense specifically? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Titans that much different, you know, focusing on the run in today's game where everybody else pretty much focuses on the pass, and especially for your perspective, being the farthest defender from the ball, just playing a physical running team, is it a different kind of week for you, or is it not just another week?
I mean, it's another week. It's another offense in front of us. You know, last week it was a similar type game plan. Stop the run, make them throw the ball at the pocket. Nothing really changes this week. He's got to adapt week to week, focus on their assignments. You know, things obviously change. It's another team, but it's the offense in front of you, and you got to stop them.
That was Steelers safety Minka Fitzpatrick breaking down the matchup against the Titans heading into this weekend. A monumental matchup in the NFL, 2-5-0 teams. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe? We've talked a lot this week about the matchup between the Titans offensively and that Steelers defense. Minka Fitzpatrick, a big part of that defense in the secondary. If the Titans are able to go out there and move the ball and score and win this game, it looked similar to how they've looked this year offensively so far. What will that tell you about this offense and about this team specifically if they get the job done over the weekend and move to 6-0?
Well, I mean, I think that you'd have to elevate them a little bit in the AFC picture and how you think about them. I still have, you know, the Chiefs and the Ravens as the top two teams in the AFC, but I think if either of these teams, Titans or Steelers, comes out and looks really impressive in winning this game, that team probably has at least a strong claim to three, whatever that's worth. I mean, it's not worth much. You go in the playoffs and see what you can do, but they have a pretty strong claim to the number three spot in a tough conference. And if the offense gets it done like it's been getting done against these guys, then who won't it get it done against? Did that make sense? Who won't it get it done against? Yeah. I mean, they're going to have success most weeks. I think they will anyway. I mean, they could have a bad week and struggle to replace Lawan, and I'm not going to be like, it's going the other way. I mean, it's again, it's not like house money. It's a huge game. But I also think that the offense is going to be good still, really good. And, you know, we're waiting to see if this defense can catch up at all.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that here coming up a little bit in the next segment, Titans defensively, because we hadn't spent a ton of time breaking down that matchup just because the eye-popping numbers that both the Steelers defense and the Titans offense have put up so far. To me, I look at this game here, and this is a huge litmus test for this Titans offense in terms of if you're able to run the ball in this game, if you're able to, even without Taylor Lewan, run the ball and Derrick Henry is affected. Now, he doesn't have to put up, you know, 212 yards or whatever he put up last week against Houston, but if you're able to run the ball effectively, stay on schedule, keep this, you know, second and five rather than, you know, second and nine, I think that's going to be something that tells me if you can run the ball against this team, you can run the ball against pretty much any team in the league. And the Titans right now have a top 10, top five weapon in the league in terms of their running back and Derrick Henry, and he's going to get a lot of attention. We've seen it. It's not the first time that he's been going up against a good defense and has been able to run the ball against them anyway. If they're able to do that specifically against this Steelers team, that tells me that basically if you're a defense in the league, you can try all you want to, but good luck stopping Derrick Henry. It's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah. Now, of course, it's funny because, I mean, he's coming off this insane game, and we were asking for a few weeks, like, it's not quite there. It's, you know, they're not quite popping it. You know, what's going on? It doesn't look, you know, the whole operation doesn't look like it did in the playoffs when it was just a machine. And they had Lawan, you know? So it's funny how now it's like we're talking about Derrick Henry MVP. We're talking about can anybody stop this run game off one monster game. But, yeah, if they can run on these guys, that bodes awfully well. And I think the big drop-off that we know is pass protection from Lawan to Sombrilo. What's the difference in, you know, the run game there? I don't know that. I mean, I've seen some plays where Sombrilo looks pretty physical and pretty effective. And the thing with Lawan is he's so athletic. You know, Lawan is the guy you can send on those receiver screens, and the play hurt himself. I mean, probably more than almost every other offensive lineman in the league, he can get out there fast.
Yep.
He can get downfield on stuff fast and run, you know, like a fast tight end, you know, as an offensive tackle. Like, stuff like that makes a difference. I mean, it's like, you know, it's the receivers blocking downfield. You know, I mean, hey.
But, Corey Davis is back this week.
Well,
so
I'm telling you, yeah. I mean,
just think about how much Derrick Henry would have run for last week with him in there.
I mean, you never know. Corey Davis might have, like, turned around, and, of course, maybe he would have blown someone up and gotten a call back because he's such a good blocker.
I don't know. So.
But that is. I mean, some of those big runs are – it really is people down the field picking off one person that because they're athletic enough to get to him, you know. And so there's just – you know, you're going to lose so much. But I do think – you would think that Sombrilo, based on what we've seen in a small sample size, would – be able to be pretty good there. And if that's the case, well, then you feel okay in that aspect. And now you have to figure out what you want to do with the passing game.
So, obviously, the Titans are not going to play the Chiefs this year in the regular season. We get that. We understand that. There's a big matchup looming in November against the Ravens. Is there anything the Titans can do this year in the regular season that would cause you to elevate them above the Chiefs? I mean, barring a Chiefs collapse, and if the Chiefs look the way that we think they're going to look the rest of the year, is there anything that the Titans can do in your mind to elevate them above the Chiefs, or do you have to see it come playoff time to believe it?
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I love about the NFL is it's like, okay, well, you go in this tournament and prove it. But, yeah, I mean, when we talk all year, who has the best this, who has the best that, I have a hard time. I mean, I think you can speak for us, and then you can speak for the rest of the league. The rest of the league, you know, forget about it. They're still figuring out Ryan Tannehill can throw a forward pass, right? I mean,
they've still got some work to do around the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're a little bit behind on some stuff, but that's, I mean, that's not abnormal either. I think the Chiefs still, you just talk about people who fit what they do perfectly. Plus, you talk about Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and the creativity of that offense. And then you talk about just blazing speed everywhere. You know, it's very different. That's the thing. It's such a different deal. It's like almost two different sports when you compare the offenses. They both end up scoring a whole bunch of points on you. And the common thread with them is that they have two of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. I mean, again, around the league, you're not going to hear that still, but it's true. So, but other than that, I think just the speed factor, I mean, it's just ridiculous. How did they end up with all those receivers, you know? Even like a guy like DeMarcus Robinson who barely, you know, and Mecole Hardman just is like the fastest one and barely gets any targets. And then, you know, the tight end. Like the tight ends have a really good tight end here coming on in Jonnu Smith, but Travis Kelce is arguably the best.
It's a different deal.
Two. Yeah.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, I think we should be considered one of the heavy hitters in the NFL. The past two or three years, the Titans have shown they can play with anyone, and if you watch them, they make teams play their type of game, slow and grimy. So I think we should finally get our recognition as a powerhouse in the NFL. Thanks, guys, and good luck, Munson. That coming from Ron.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Very nice of Ron.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, well, except the grimy part, that's the thing, is the Titans don't I mean, they're not.
They're a lot flashier right now.
Yeah, they just also just step back and fire away on you, you know? And that's what's fun about them right now.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a texture that says, Steelers have a good defense, no doubt, but they did allow the Eagles to drop 29 on them. Pretty confident we've got a better offense than the Eagles.
Yeah. Now, some of that was, it was a little bit of, I watched a lot of the second half of that game, and it was, they had a lead, and they sort of, you know, backed off like you see a lot in the NFL. But, yeah, I think the Steelers, I mean, no team has everything across the board that you want. And they're not, their entire secondary is not strong. I mean, Hayden is a heck of a player, and Minka Fitzpatrick is a heck of a player. But, you know, the Titans are going to be able to make some plays down the field. If the Titans get protection, I don't care if Joe Hayden's on A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill will find people and they'll move the ball and score. It really comes down to, can they this week keep him upright? They've been doing an incredible job of that all year, but they have not faced this, and they have not faced this certainly without Taylor Lewan.
And it's interesting to me, like, when you look at today's NFL, like, what does a good defense look like? Like, from a point margin standpoint, like, it's a different game now. It's a lot harder to play defense. I mean, the offenses are better. The rules, quite frankly, make it more difficult to play defense. And I think a lot of the rules are great for the game and they're necessary. But I also think at times it makes it difficult to play defense as effectively as we've seen. You know, when I was growing up, the Titans, if they won a game and played good offensively, you get to 20 points, you're feeling pretty good in that game offensively. And you win a lot of games, you know, 21-17 or 17-13, grinding it out. It's just not that way in the NFL anymore. So you look at this Pittsburgh defense, you know, they could give up 20, 24 points and still play pretty well. Like, if the Steelers give up 24 points to the Titans in this game, do you feel confident enough in the Titans defense right now that they're not going to allow 24 to the Steelers offense? I don't.
No. No, you're absolutely right. And that's the thing. The Steelers have – yeah, it's not like they're – giving up 9.7 points a game here. I mean, other team, you know, I mean, the Texans, we know that they can score. That, you know, they scored 21 on them. I mean, they had close games with the Broncos and Giants. This isn't exactly, you know, this isn't like the steel curtain and, you know, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris at this point. But it's still a good team. And relative to the rest of the league, that's the point you're making. You know, it's a very good defense. But the personnel, I think, is the thing. It's, you know, it's just that the Titans have had so much success, I think, largely because Ryan Tannehill stands in when he does get rushed. That's on him. It's such a difference from the last guy. You know, I think that's probably the biggest difference is Mariota, especially later, would feel that rush before it was there a lot of times. Tannehill has it in his face, stands in, delivers a pass. But also, you're talking about just terrific protection. And now this personnel makes it – that's the toughest personnel to protect against in the league based on all the numbers and all the different guys they have. Outside and inside, it's going to be a challenge.
When we come back, how concerned are we about Big Ben Roethlisberger and that Pittsburgh offense? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. But first, Hope Health and Connection. During these unsteady times, it's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more important for our children and teams. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and it's going to run all the way until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think there's a number of things that we need to get better as far as defense goes. I think we need to, you know, get off the field on third down, be better in the run game, better in the pass game. I mean, we have a long way to go, but lucky for us, you know, it's still early. You know, we're 5-0. You know, the most important thing, I think, is weekend. Every week, we just got to work on improving. You know, I think the best teams improve throughout the year, and they're at their peak, you know, November, December. So, you know, we're working really hard right now just to you know, work out the details, you know, be more efficient on first and second down, and then get off the field on third down.
That was Titans safety Kenny Vaccaro talking about kind of the journey on defense so far. Even though the Titans 5-0 on the season, the numbers are not good on defense. Kenny Vaccaro saying there, it's not about what you're doing right now. You try to improve and be playing your best football once you get into November and December. And I think there is something to that. And Joe, you've said all week, even though the numbers have not been there defensively, quite frankly, a lot of them are bad defensively. This defense, in your opinion, just isn't without hope. I mean, we've seen these players do it before. We've seen them be productive before. What do you think it's going to take this defense from, I don't even know if the next level is the right way, taking it from a really bad defense to at least an adequate one as they move forward here the rest of the regular season?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Look, at some point, performance will change your mind, and you're like, okay, well, that's what they are. But I am not convinced at all that this is what they're going to be. It was based on some guys who we talked about, a couple guys yesterday on the show. You know, Kevin Byard, he can play better than this. He can make more plays. I still think he's one of the best safeties in the league. Vaccaro, by the way, Vaccaro, great to have Vaccaro on those interviews. I totally respected, you know, when he said he was only going to talk about, you know, social justice stuff this year. But and that to me, I was like, you know what, I got a lot of respect for that. But I appreciate that he decided to talk football because he's great at giving insights, and he had a lot of interesting stuff to say about it too. And I think a lot of it is, you know, it's the whole picture kind of not exactly working together right now. It's also as simple sometimes as one of you needs to get past your blocker, you know, or in some cases you got to cover better, run better. But I still think that ultimately this secondary, which will benefit if Adoree Jackson is there Sunday, is not going to look good if they don't get after the passer, you know. And also, if they can't tighten some things up, man.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
sorry.
Good at that. My goodness.
Pun unintended. Sorry.
Tighten up, baby.
But I did say there's a tighten and something in between the up. But get better on the run. You know, I mean, that's been disappointing, and that shouldn't be like it is. With Jeffrey Simmons in there, just Jeffrey Simmons by all these you know, the advanced stats on winning, you know, against blocking and stuff like that out there, like, he's dominant. He's one of the best players in the league, and we see it. Now, maybe not every single play, but it's also not fair to expect that every single play. But all the disruption he gives you, everyone else should be benefiting from that, right? You would think. So I think it, some of it is like figuring out how that all works together. And Shane Bowen, I give Shane Bowen credit for, you know, kind of pointing the finger at himself. I mean, he said it's about coordination. I mean, he's, without the title, the defensive coordinator. He talked about play calling. He's got to get better at it. So, I mean, I just think there's a lot of stuff that it's understandably not great right now. But then there's just some individuals that are like, okay, Clowney, is Beasley going to play? You know, Jayon Brown is a guy you're used to him making these big game-swinging plays. They need some of that from him, you know. So I think because a lot of these guys have done it, that's why I'm far from throwing in the towel on this defense right now.
So, again, we've talked a lot about the Titans offense this week matching up against the Steelers defense. But what about this Pittsburgh offense? You look at Ben Roethlisberger coming into this season. He's not the same type of guy that he used to be. I think the Steelers have done a great job of getting the ball out a little bit quicker than he's probably used to this year just from watching him play. Look, we all know what it was like when Ben Roethlisberger was in his prime. He'd hold on to that ball forever because it was difficult to bring him down. He always had a good offensive line, and he liked to throw the ball down the field. I mean, he would hold on to the ball a long time. They don't really do that as much in this offense. His completion percentage right now, much higher than it has been normally in his career. His career, he's about a 64% completion percentage guy. He's flirting near 70 this year for the Steelers. 5-0, just 1,178 yards, 11 touchdowns, one pick so far for Ben Roethlisberger. So very good quarterback play for this offense. As you look at Roethlisberger and you look at the weapons on the outside and Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner at running back, what do you make of this Pittsburgh offense, and how concerning is it in this matchup against the Titans defense?
Yeah, that's the thing. We haven't talked about their running game at all. I mean, they've got a solid running game. It's a good enough running game to hurt you. You know, last week, that we didn't talk about that much either because so much else went on in that game. But there were some moments, you know, where Duke Johnson's getting a 10-yard run on you, right?
This can't happen.
Yeah, like they did a good job against the Bills, but the Bills barely even – I think the Bills, frankly, need to love the run game more than they do. They didn't really try. But the Texans did a nice job of hitting them on some moments that you can't let 2nd and 12 turn into 3rd and 1, but they did. And, you know, the Steelers can run it. They've got a good offensive line. You're right. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, I think of him in his primes like just standing there with people hanging on to his legs. And he just, you know, that's fine. He'll just keep standing there and then make the big throw.
Yeah.
You know, like you couldn't bring the guy to, and he could move pretty well back in the day, and that's not him anymore. I mean, it'll be a breath of fresh air for like Clowney and Landry and those guys too. At least if they do get home, they'll probably be able to touch the quarterback.
Yes.
Versus the last 2 weeks. But he also, like you said, I mean, he gets it out quick. Claypool's been the story. Juju Smith-Schuster has been disappointing, you know, because I guess it's a knee injury that's hurting him. But Deontay Johnson, so I did a thing with Mark Caboli for The Athletic, who covers the Steelers, and he says he's their best receiver, you know. I mean, he believes he's their best receiver.
Yeah.
And he's back this week. So throw another weapon into the mix there for the Steelers. Again, big if the Titans can get Adoree Jackson back too. At least you can match up when you have to match up a lot better now. But can you get home? Can you stop the run, put them in third downs that you aren't supposed to like, even though the Titans defense has been giving those up too, and then can you get home?
And Juju Smith-Schuster, 23 catches on the year, just 194 yards, 3 touchdowns. But he's a guy you're just always fearful of, okay, is this the week where he snaps out of it and has the big game? And certainly he's shown in his career he's capable, more than capable, of doing that. But they've got some weapons where it's easy to spread the ball around. I mean, even Ebron at tight end, he's got more than 20 targets so far on the season. So Roethlisberger has done a good job of spreading the ball around. We talk all the time about Tannehill spreading the ball around and going to different weapons offensively. Pittsburgh's very much been the same. Now, they have not been as explosive offensively as the Titans have been this year, not even where close, to be honest with you. But you still have some weapons on this offense where if the Titans don't improve defensively, particularly in the pass rush, and you give him time to sit back there and throw, they're going to hurt you. I mean, they're just going to hurt you. So this is a big week to me for Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley. Those two guys specifically, they're getting paid to come in and make a difference, and they have not so far. It's time for that to end. You know, it's been a different year. I get it. You know, conditioning hasn't always been there. Then you had basically a two-week break with COVID. I understand. Things have not been an ideal circumstance for them this year, but I'm done with the excuses with those two. It's time for them to come in and make a difference. And if they don't do that this week in a big game like that, I have big concerns about that moving forward. It's time to make a difference.
It is. You know, and again, I think there's still a big difference between the two. I think Clowney, not enough at all, but at times you can see him and you can see he's close to making plays. He'll make a few plays. Again, if you go by, I was just talking about Jeffrey Simmons and, you know, how basically, you know, pass blocking, win rate, and all that stuff. I mean, he has off the charts numbers. Clowney's numbers are really good if you care about that sort of thing. Some people do. Some people care about that stuff more than actual stats like sacks. But look, we knew he wasn't going to be a huge sacker. A sacker. He wasn't going to be a big sacker, as our friend Jared Stillman likes to say. But more plays. You know, you got to do that. But to me, at least, he's out there a lot. And, like, I think he'll make some plays. Vic Beasley, I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't either.
Vic Beasley is barely playing. 11 snaps, right? 11 snaps Sunday. And it's not like he's getting those. He's not. It's not like he's not getting the snaps because, this guy's just got to play. You know. Yeah. Now, look, on first and second down, Vic Beasley is here to be a third down guy. And that was our always known anyway. But I would also, you would think that he'd at least be able to be weaved in a little bit, give Landry a little bit of a break. Landry plays like every snap.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can have pass rush on first and second down too. Teams throw on those downs too. I mean, he's got to do something right now. I'm not seeing anything that looks explosive from him.
No, I'm not either.
So that's where some pessimism for me is with him based on what we've seen. I mean, he's got to change. It's got to look a lot different.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in. Jared and the GM went through the starting 22 yesterday, and Floyd gave it a decided advantage to the Steelers, saying things like Juju is no contest better than A.J. Brown. Who has the best 22, according to you guys, on offense and defense here?
Oh, sorry. That was – now, look, I'm a button guy, but I swear that thing was not responding to me. What are you trying – to mess me up with your last name, Munson?
Look, I was wondering why you were pressing the button multiple times.
It wasn't working.
And I'm staring at it like, why is it turning on and off? I'm like, it's working, Joe.
I swear.
We needed one last microphone faux pas.
He was like, what's the over again? And what? Start pressing
he
buttons.
Just started
no.
Like he just got to three.
This does not count on my total.
Yes, it does.
No, I swear. Look, I'm pressing the button now. Right, this is
it
so unfair.
And
it's a great question. I was so excited to try to answer that
apparently
question. Now we got to go to break. Now, that's interesting. So flat out better than Juju's, flat out better than A.J. Brown. I don't know about that. I think now this year's been a kind of banged up year for Juju. He's good.
Yes.
A.J. Brown's really good too. That's an interesting comparison. I'd have to think about that. I think maybe we need to think about that one. Who has a better – so the question is just the starting 22 – which would you take?
Yeah.
I think it's probably a pretty close debate.
Yeah, we'll get to that later in the show. A lot to still talk about here with the Titans and Steelers as we move forward. We're going to switch gears when we come back. Joe, you got an interesting piece on The Athletic about the wonderful world of Vol Twitter. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, you've got a new piece at The Athletic about Vol Twitter.
Wait, what is that?
It's a new piece for Joe Rex Road at The Athletic.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
So I'd like to promote a couple things on The Athletic.
Oh, good.
Real quick.
Good.
You guys really think I'm a good promoter?
Yeah.
Probably the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what they say. Top three. Yep. Right up here.
Yeah.
Here's another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexroad.
That will never get old.
The gift that Munson leaves us.
That's right.
The sweet, sweet gift.
Joe coming out with a great story about the wonderful world of Vol Twitter. And speaking of Vol Twitter, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Big Orange Mac. What's up, Big Orange Mac? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all?
We're good. So, okay, first of all, let's just—are we calling you? We can call you Chris. You know, I or we could call you, or we could call you Big Orange Mac. Mac? I think you said your mom calls you Sweet Pea.
What knows me as Mac.
Okay.
You can call me Mac.
All right, we're going Mac. All right, Mac. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. Thanks for participating in the story too. You were the first. We got the photo of you. You are the first account. I think you were up there one or two in accounts that people mentioned. But I want you, for people who aren't aware out there of the glory and beauty of Vol Twitter, I'd like you to describe it for us now.
It's just like the song, Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. It's a wild and woolly place. It's like the wild, wild west of college football internet. It's crazy. If you want a good hoot, you want a good laugh, if you want to be sad, if you want to be mad, just read Vol Twitter. It's a roller coaster of emotions. It's like the old Wabash Cannonball at Old Opryland.
Yes, man. Oh, Big Orange Mac, that brought back some great memories of my childhood. How are we feeling right now, Mac? After the loss against Kentucky, I was crushed on Saturday. I'm still not over it. But how are we feeling heading into this Bama game?
I have to tell you, Saturday, I hadn't felt that gutted since my pop died back in March. I mean, it gutted me. I got called in the second half, so I didn't see that. I got called into work, and I'm glad I didn't see it. I was gutted like a bass laying on the bank of a creek or something. You know, it killed me. I mean, here's a team that, you know, we've pretty much had our way with for the last almost 40 years, and they came in and skulldrug us. I mean, they got us good, and it's going to have to be some changes at one particular position. I mean, Coach Pruitt's daddy, Nick Saban, even said, you know, hey, you know, they one position away from actually being a decent football team, you know, which is paraphrasing there. But going into this Saturday, I don't expect anything. We all know what's going to happen. They're going to hang about 72 on us, and I'm going to be feeling sick again.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously this is – the thing is with this piece too, Mac, is I talked to a lot of you before Kentucky because I thought it was – I'll be honest with you. I thought it was safe to sort of run it this week, probably win over Kentucky. Everybody be feeling okay. You know, sometimes I feel like – I mean, think about that Georgia game, right? About halftime, everybody was feeling pretty good.
Yeah,
I saw
yeah.
a lot of positivity on Vol Twitter, and it hasn't been great since then. You mentioned quarterback. What about Pruitt, though? I mean, right now, Vol Twitter on Jeremy Pruitt. Give me the – take the temperature for me.
It's split right now. You got some people that's supporting him and wanting to give him a chance, and you got other people that's wanting to get him out, send him back to Alabama where he come from. So it's split right now. And I got a little story about Coach Pruitt. I used to be a volunteer assistant in a local high school, and we went down to a coach's clinic back when he first started at Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And he had just left Hoover High School and went to Alabama. And we were at the coach's social Saturday night. And I seen him. I said, hey, you that coach off of Tour Days on MTV? He said, yeah, that's me. I said, what you drinking on tonight, coach? He said, no, what you drinking on? So we shared a couple of Jack and Cokes back in the day. And he's a good old boy, and I like him. And I like what he's doing. He's beefing up the offensive and defensive lines. I just don't understand what he's trying to do at the quarterback position, because JG ain't it. He's a fifth-year senior. He's making freshman mistakes. Get him out. Sit him down. I don't care. Get him out. Sit him down. I'd rather take my chances with a true freshman quarterback. I'm tired of seeing him.
Yeah, well, you know, I asked everybody, what's your most unpopular Vols opinion? That was a question I asked everyone. You had a great one. Yours was, like, Al Wilson is your guy over Peyton Manning, which a lot of people – that's a good, like, unpopular Vols opinion,
yeah.
right? But there were some people in here, Mac, who were like, well, my unpopular opinion is JG isn't that bad. But I think it has been kind of split, but I don't think it is anymore, right? I mean, look, I would understand any Vols fan right now wanting that change. But here's my question for you, Mac. What do you do then? Right, you are Jeremy Pruitt tomorrow. Who are you trotting out there to take that first snap at quarterback?
I'm trotting a freshman out there. Got to get his feet wet. You know, what better way? Hey, we don't know that kid could go out there and sling it all over the yard, and you never know. He could become a legend on one Saturday afternoon. He beat Bama as a true freshman. Now I know that's a far stretch. I know it's probably some. I'm stretching that rubber band way out there.
I like it though.
I know it's probably some Bama bandwagon trash sitting there laughing right now, listening. Oh, these Tennessee fans are crazy. You never know. Stranger things has happened in this old world. So.
You got me sold. Put Harrison Bailey out there. Harrison Bailey.
Big Orange Mac, we appreciate you taking time to join us, brother. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank y'all. Have a good day.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Man, what a legend.
That was a great call. And, yeah, he's a legend. Now, I will say there's some bad words in this piece, and there's some interesting stuff. And his account is – yeah, like it's interesting. I mean, he put some risky stuff out there a little bit, but man, he's hilarious. And you talk about a guy, just a great story too of his fandom. We didn't get into that, but you know, his dad was actually bellhop at Grand Ole Opry, bet on Miami against the Vols in the Sugar Bowl when he was 5 years old.
Yeah,
his dad was not a Vols fan, but he went watched that game and fell in love. And his dad's like, the worst thing I've ever done is let you watch that game with me, because he's just been, you know, and you know how many people in this had one common thread? It was TV on, sound off, John Ward on. It was interesting. Like everyone had that. But Big Orange Mac, legend. Legend of all Twitter. We should give Big Orange Mac his own hour out here, man. What do you think?
That's awesome.
What was it like for you putting this piece together? It seems like this, from what you've talked about, I knew this was coming today. One of the more enjoyable stories you've put together regarding Vol Twitter.
I have not laughed more doing interviews. I have not laughed more writing something. I'm like, I'll read it again today, and I'll laugh again. There's some hilarious stuff, man. But, you know, I tell you what. There's a lot. Like, Shiano Sunday, very – not what you might think was some of the takes on what that was from people. Very wide range of opinions. A lot of – you know, there's a lot of like, hey – like, I'd give a kidney to someone involved Twitter, too. You know, like, they fight with each other, and they swear, and they block each other and all that stuff. But it is this really big, dysfunctional family that you got to love.
It is. So hopefully they can keep it together on Saturday. As Big Orange Mac said there, could be a little rough on Saturday.
Listen, all that has to happen is Harrison Bailey. Yeah. No, all that has to happen is Harrison Bailey gets a start and leads them to a win over Bama. Then they'll
legend,
be fined.
Legend immediately. Harrison right. Bailey. When we come back, our good buddy Ryan McGee from ESPN will join us. We'll get into that Vols matchup with Alabama. That's coming up next. But first, make sure you're joining us on Saturday, November 14th to support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run walk, powered by Enterprise Rental Car. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on a certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars and powered by Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.